You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I'm honored to tell you that joining me on today's broadcast is Oklahoma's own U.S. Senator Tom Coburn. Dr. Coburn, welcome to Messenger Insight.
Brian, thanks for having me. Glad to be with you.
Now, I am thrilled to tell our listeners that you have an important new book out called The Debt Bomb, A Bold Plan to Stop Washington from Bankrupting America. Now, what did prompt you, Senator Coburn, to write this book on this topic at this time?
Well, it's a critical time in our nation's history. Our biggest threat isn't the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. It's our debt. And the purpose of the book is to explain to people how we got here and the bad habits that got us here, and also offer them some hope on how we can get out of it. What it really means to the individual, if you're nearing retirement age and we don't fix this problem, what it means is whatever you have for retirement isn't going to buy what you thought it was going to buy, because what we'll have is a concept of financial repression where the government prints money, the value of that money lessens, and its purchasing power declines. Or if you're a college student at OBU, right now only one in two college students can get a full-time job. If we don't fix this, there'll be one in four or one in five that can get a full-time job. So large economic problems face us because we've not been good stewards.
You're absolutely right, and I appreciate your bravery for pointing this out. It's not a popular notion to say we have a recipe for disaster and that we could face economic collapse like we've never seen. In fact, in the introduction, you say we could face a sudden economic collapse worse than the Great Depression. And I think it would take shocking statements like this, which you back up with facts and research and historical patterns, but to wake everyone up to these harsh realities. Was your purpose to sound the alarm in addition to provide solutions?
It was both. One, I describe what I think is the biggest problem in Washington, and it's a problem with Republicans and Democrats. You know, we're now $16 trillion in debt. The only way you can get $16 trillion in debt is have a Congress that approved budgets that allow you to do that. Well, the Congress over the last 20 years has been controlled by both Republicans and Democrats in both Republican and Democratic administrations. And we've seen the problem grow. It hadn't gotten better. So what is the problem? The problem is career politicians who continue to vote for their reelection rather than in the best interest of the country.
Great point.
So they're conflicted. And they're human. They're great people. But they tend to think short-term about their next election. And so what we really lack in Washington is people of real-world experience, not political experience, of real-world experience. And we also lack people wanting to get into the political fight. You know, this is a bruising sport. You get accused of all sorts of things. Your family and your diseases and everything else about you is public knowledge. And a lot of people have failed to jump into the fight that have lots to offer because they don't want to pay the price of losing a certain anonymity. And we need them. You know, this country's been good to a lot of people, and they're sitting on the sidelines, and they're allowing the career politician to represent them rather than to come up here and help us fix what the career politicians have actually made a mess of.
Excellent point. And just in the fashion of a medical doctor, I think you not only diagnose the problem in a perfect way, but prescribe some solutions. The only other Oklahoman I've heard talk about it with such force and urgency is Dr. J. Rufus Fears, who is a really renowned professor, and he talks about declaring war on debt and points out some of the historical statements you do. Examples of other great powers, Britain, France, the Ottomans, who declined economically and had problems with debt as well. But I was very interested in this illustration of the debt bomb. You know, this illustration of a ticking bomb that could go off. What drew you to use that illustration?
Well, what's going to happen is this is not going to happen slowly. The one of the things that Ben Bernanke, head of the Federal Reserve, said is we're not going to get the $22 or $23 trillion worth of debt. And the reason we're not is people aren't going to loan us the money. Well, what's the implication from that? The implication from that is that the money that we've borrowed now is going to become much more expensive in terms of interest costs. And so when this happens, it's going to happen quickly. Right now, the federal government borrows money at about 2% for 10 years. Historically, our costs have been about 6%. The reason we're borrowing at 2% is 80% of what we issue in debt, the Federal Reserve buys. In other words, prints money to pay for it. But when that changes, when people lose confidence that we have the ability to repay this massive debt, I mean, it's hard to get your hands around $1 trillion.
Yes.
It's hard to get your hands around $1 billion. It's even hard to get your hands around $1 million. But, you know, a million millions is a lot of money. And when we have 20 times that, or we're going to have 20 times that in debt, as soon as they lose confidence, what happens is bond traders throughout the world will start selling our bonds, and the interest rates will go up. So right now, as we stand, in less than 9.5 years, the only thing that will be in the federal budget will be Medicare, Social Security, and interest.
Wow.
There'll be no HHS, there'll be no Department of Defense, there'll be no Department of Justice, there's nothing. And that's even considering modifying Social Security and Medicare. So when this happens, it's going to happen overnight. You know, things continue just like they are until they don't.
Right.
And when the world confidence in our ability to repay, it becomes shaken, then all of a sudden, now, let me tell you what it means. Right now, if interest rates were to change back to our historical average, that would add $650 billion a year just in interest costs to the federal government.
Wow.
That's more than we spend on defense. And that's more than we spend on every other discretionary program. So just going back to historical rates, so that's where we're at risk. And as soon as that confidence goes, then we're flat out of luck. And then what's going to happen is we're going to be greased. The people who are loaning us money are going to tell us what we're going to do.
Senator, is there a moral component to this and implications for future generations that you could talk about?
Sure. Let's think about what we've done in our country and the immorality of it. What we've actually done is live the last 30 years off the next 30. In other words, we've borrowed money that is going to have to be paid back. Now, who's going to pay it back? At 64 years of age, do you think I'm going to pay that back? No. So the moral component is we're actually stealing opportunity from our children. And what we're actually doing is it'd be just like you telling your children, you know, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to not send you to school. I'm going to do what's best for me, but not what's best for you. And, oh, by the way, when I get through, I'm going to leave you the bill for everything that I did. And that's what we're doing to our children and our grandchildren. I used to worry about my grandkids. I'm now worried about my kids and me on whether or not we can accomplish this. So there's not the one thing point I want to make sure everybody in Oklahoma understands. There's not a problem in front of us we can't fix. What we lack is leadership and a frank conversation with American people about the severity of our problem. You know, most politicians won't stand up and say, hey, guys, we're broke, and you tell me you want the government to do more, and I'm telling you the government can't do more. The government's going to have to do less, and all of us are going to have to come together and solve this together and do it in a fair and equitable way, and we'll still do what we need to do to help those that absolutely need our help. But there's no more coasting. There's no more taking advantage of programs. There's no more big government because we can't afford the government that we have.
And I think some people, because of works like yours, are starting to wake up. So often the conversation is, should we or shouldn't we have this program? And now it's turning to, can we or can't we?
Well, there's actually a bigger question. If you look at our founders and really read the Federalist Papers, We are so outside the limited government that our founders set up. We have come to the federal government and say, do this. But if you read the Constitution, especially Article 1, Section 8, which is the enumerated powers, there were very limited powers given to the federal government. The rest were belonged to the states. And what we've done is usurped that power. That's why the the Supreme Court decision on Obamacare is so important, because the violation of the Commerce Clause intended in our Constitution, if Obamacare is not struck down, there is no reason to have states anymore, because the federal government now has said we can move in any direction on any issue at any time, and we can tell you what to do.
Wow.
And so this expansion of the Commerce Clause and the lack of slapping it down in the past by the Supreme Court has created a government that's far outside its bounds. But it's also made us weaker, because it's created dependence. Dependency, creating dependency, is a form of tyranny, whereas earned success is happiness. And we've gotten those confused, and we've created a situation where people feel entitled. You know, I've talked in the last week, I've talked to five or six employers in Oklahoma that want to hire people. And people have come to them to apply for a job and said, I don't really want the job until my unemployment runs out. But they're, you know, checking the box so they can stay qualified for their unemployment. So we have an unemployment system that encourages people not to work rather than one that encourages them to work. There's a great book that your readers ought to read. It's written by Marvin Alasky, and it's called The Tragedy of American Compassion.
Yes.
And he outlines the history of how you really help somebody instead of make them dependent. And you don't do that through the federal government. You do that through churches and communities where you hold them with some personal responsibility for helping themselves. And we've gotten totally away from that. You realize we have 1 in 18 people in the United States now collecting the disability check.
Is that right?
1 in 18. Now, do you really think 1 out of every 18 people you see is disabled? Yet, and 40% of it's fraud. Absolute fraud.
What I admire so much about you and what makes Oklahomans so proud is that you speak the truth, and you do so with confidence, and you've done your homework, so to speak. Dr. Fears talks about the difference between a politician and a statesman, and I can clearly observe that you have statesman-like qualities, a bedrock of principles, a moral compass, an ability to see a vision and build a consensus to get it. I want to encourage all of our listeners to get a copy of this new book by Senator Tom Coburn called The Debt Bomb, A Bold Plan to Stop Washington from Bankrupting America. Either get it online through the Amazon, Kindle, read it on your iPad, get a copy at the bookstore. It is incredible. It will give you the information you need as a citizen, as a voter, as a participant in the Republic to make a difference and to turn the corner and get back to first principles. Senator, we just so much thank you for writing this work, for constantly representing us so well, and being a champion for liberty and a bright future for America. And I want to thank you for coming on to Messenger Insight this morning.
Glad to be with you, Brian. Thanks for the opportunity.
Blessings to you.
Same to you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.